For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Felicia Eady. On the debate stage Tuesday night, seven candidates and issues on the economy, education, housing, rural health care, and national security, to name a few. Recent polls show former Vice President Joe Biden leading with likely voters in the state, but only by a small margin. He's followed by Bernie Sanders and then Tom Steyer, Pete Buttigieg, followed by Elizabeth Warren, Amy Klobuchar, and then Tulsi Gabbard, who did not qualify to participate in the debate. Michael Bloomberg was on the debate stage, but is not participating in Saturday's primary. During the two-hour event, the candidates try to differentiate themselves, attacking frontrunner Bernie Sanders, who's coming off back-to-back wins in New Hampshire and Nevada, and also attacking the two richest candidates, Steyer and Bloomberg. But even more noticeable was the connection each tried to make between their experiences and the issues impacting African Americans. In South Carolina, they make up over 60% of the Democratic Party. For Joe Biden, at one point, it was gun control and racism.
Walking distance here is Mother Emanuel Church. Nine people shot dead by a white supremacist. Bernie voted five times against the Brady Bill and wanted a waiting period. No, let me finish. I'm not saying he's responsible for the nine deaths, but that man would not have been able to get that weapon with the waiting period had been what I suggest until you are cleared.
Bernie Sanders, criminal justice reform, and how his administration would correct the wrongs of the war on drugs.
We have a criminal justice system today that is not only broken, it is racist, got more people in jail than any other country on earth, including China. And one of the reasons for that is a horrific war on drugs. On day one, we will change the Federal Controlled Substance Act. We're going to take marijuana out of that and effectively legalize marijuana, move to expunge the records of those people who are arrested for possession of marijuana.
Tom Steyer. His work to level the financial playing field for people of color.
Every single policy area in the United States has a gigantic subtext of race. We're talking about education. We're talking about criminal justice. We're talking about housing. We're talking about loans. I started a bank to correct the injustice in the financial services industry, to make loans to black-owned, Latino-owned, and women-owned businesses.
Pete Buttigieg on rural health care.
When I was born, there was no difference in your life expectancy. If you were born in a rural area or a city, now the gap is the biggest it's been in a generation. And that is particularly affecting black rural families in places like South Carolina. We're seeing hospital closures, and we're seeing them in particular in states where Medicaid was not expanded, something that is hurting black and poor white families and is largely the result of racial voter suppression.
Elizabeth Warren on housing discrimination and funding for historically black colleges and universities in South Carolina, there are eight.
It is important to recognize the role that the federal government played for decades and decades in discriminating against African Americans having an opportunity to buy homes. That's redlining. To really level the playing field, put $50 billion into historically black colleges and universities.
Amy Klobuchar.
Finally, voting. While we are all sitting here debating, Wisconsin has kicked hundreds of thousands of people off of their voting rolls. Georgia kicked 100,000 off. As president, I will get voting rights to be a reality for everyone.
And for Michael Bloomberg, clarification on stop and frisk.
We let it get out of control. And when I realized that, I cut it back by 95%. And I've apologized and asked for forgiveness. I've met with black leaders to try to get an understanding of how I can better position myself and what I should have done and what I should do next time.
But one topic that cuts across racial lines and has impacted almost every resident of the state in recent years was barely mentioned: environmental issues. At Jay's Corner, a popular restaurant in downtown Columbia, members of Conservation Voters of South Carolina watched the debate together.
Rebecca Haynes, Deputy Director of Conservation Voters of South Carolina.
The statewide organization is made up of Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. They work to turn conservation values into state priorities. And they only endorse candidates on the state level. But Haynes says,
with all of this national attention on South Carolina, and as the candidates have been visiting South Carolina communities, we have been, we've had our volunteers and our conservation voters spread across the state asking the candidates how they are going to address the impacts of climate change on South Carolina.
During the debate, there were just brief mentions of environmental issues, both times brought up by Steyer, first when explaining why he got into the race, and again when talking about the biggest threat to the country.
The biggest threat to America right now in terms of our safety of our citizens is climate, and it's time for us to deal with it that way. Every single foreign policy issue is about American leadership and coalition.
The lack of attention given to environmental issues was also noticeable on social media. U.S. Representative Joe Cunningham represents the state's first congressional district. It includes Charleston. He tweeted that moderators asked about a ban on sugary drinks, but not about the environment or climate change, and noted that in Charleston, they're sitting at sea level. Tuesday's debate gave candidates one last chance to make their case to South Carolina voters. The state's first in the South primary is Saturday, February 29th. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Felicia Eadie.